So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop a heavy tag teaming like Teddy, long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tight ropes, spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke, 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring, illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs, every time they get down they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas, you're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet, Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat, but I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you, but what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Running Wild podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
And we are extremely excited to evaluate tonight's event, Extreme Rules. Really, I just did that for alliteration. If you like WWE, I would just maybe, possibly, discontinue listening for the rest of the episode. Because I don't believe we're going to have too much nice nice things to say about the event tonight. But we will be talking about the G1 specials as well. And the big news of ROH and New Japan announcing their Madison Square Garden show. So, like, let's try to be positive. What did you think that was good about this event?
Which one was that?
Let's do Extreme Rules first, so that we can get it out of the way, and then enjoy talking about the G1 and the ROH news.
See, like, so as we've discussed a couple times before. You know, sometimes the crowd can really take you out of an event, and I was enjoying Extreme Rules. I liked the B team. I liked, you know, the Nakamura booking. What I thought was well done. You know, I was enjoying the show, and then like Reigns Lashley just sucked the life out of everything. But you know, from then on, it was just kind of a dead crowd, and it really hurt the rest of the show.
I mean, yeah. I was... So, one odd note. I mean, it ended early. We're currently taping right after. It is not even 11 o'clock yet. It's weird that the event... So, it officially started at 7?
And I think I like that that's why they waited like till halfway through the show. Like, all right, and we will have Talking Smack or whatever. You know, like, all right, we're going to have an extra half hour, so let's throw this on to fill it. Let's see who's still here and who we can throw on it.
It's such a weird... I mean, especially for the co-branded pay-per-views, they've normally been longer, and I was, you know, I was all set in for that. It's almost as if they kind of realized the show was getting a little long for the fans, but... Listen, I think it's like, baby
why,
stuff. Man.
Why start it at 7 o'clock if you're going to end it early? I think this might have just been you know, lackluster show, for lack of a better term. But I don't know. I think they might have just, you know, had a lot of extra time than usually they won't have.
I mean, you know,
well, you know, if Nakamura's match is a match, right?
Yeah,
that's true. 10:45.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, even at 3 hours and 45 minutes, I mean, I like my wrestling shows shorter than that, but
right.
I don't think I've been to shows where it's that long, and the fact that the way the crowd completely turned, I mean, I don't know what they have to do, but they have to rethink something. Some things aren't clicking. Like, the people who
let's
are paying
not
to...
Put, well, it's let's not put Reigns and Lashley in a match against each other, you know, people are just going to crap all over it. So hopefully, you know, that's over with for the time being. But
I just picture Vince going like, who's another guy I like that everyone hates? Lashley. If Lashley beats him, people have to like Roman, right? Like, is that the thinking?
You would think so.
Like, he's got to make sure he wears that stupid fucking headband. Everyone hates that. Okay. And then they'll like Roman. And it's just like, no, he needs to... And by the way, speaking of like... Well, I was just about to say that Roman needs to go away for a while. Randy Orton went away for 2 months, and I still think it should have been longer. Was not excited to see him coming down the ramp.
Well, and yeah, Randy Orton is one of those guys that... Like, oh, he was away for 2 months? Cool,
yeah.
I
could have been longer than 2 months. And then, what does he do? Like, okay, so he comes down to the ring. Nakamura runs away.
Well,
so
I mean,
he
so
kicks...
I guess we might as well just, you know, start off the show and go in order, because we can definitely...
I was trying to be positive.
Talk
yeah.
about this.
All right.
That didn't go well. See, but for me, the beginning of the show was the positive. I enjoyed the pre-show matches. I enjoyed the start of the show. So, you know, I really liked the Sin Cara and Almas match.
That was good, right? Imagine he would have hit that Rana off. Because they were going for like a pretty complicated CMLL Rana. Like that I usually see is when like the well no because I don't see this anywhere else. They jump from the top rope to the guy in the apron.
Will Ospreay, Ricochet.
Yeah, they never do that. So like this is like, you know, Dragon Lee on an El Odas level, but he went for a Dragon Rana Lee off the top rope to Almas, who was on the apron. And I don't know, it just didn't look right. It looked like they weren't
yeah, he
in the air
missed.
Long enough. Yeah.
And, you know, it...
I mean, I'm glad he went for it, though.
Right, but for me, I'm glad that he missed and he protected it, because I don't want to see anyone die.
Yeah, that was
great. You know, if you got to just ball up and go to the side a little bit, no problem. I'll accept it. So I was fine with that. Sanity is cool. Like, they just have a cool look. The gimmick is cool. I like their music. You know, I like the entrance. So... you know, them against the New Day is kind of a perfect little feud, and you know, I'm really enjoying it for, you know, starting off Sanity and all that sort of stuff. So I enjoyed that table match too.
Yeah, that was fine. I didn't think it was anything special, but it's like the first chapter, you know, like in that feud. So I'll give them that. You know, there's gonna need to be more for the stakes to be raised, I think.
And, you know, I think this was an introduction to Sanity for a lot of people. So, you know, that's good.
What was next? Let's see. The... I don't know why I'm thinking
the B team.
Oh, the B team, yeah. I mean, as I'm watching them pantomime now because I can't hear them on the post show, I'm excited for them. The match wasn't exciting. I was surprised they won, I guess, because, you know, Hardy and... It didn't seem like Hardy and Orton... I mean, Hardy and Wyatt had anything else? Or any other challenges?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, if Wyatt or Hardy is a little banged up or maybe need some time off, or if this was just a matter of Vince like, okay, this is... I'm done with this broken stuff. I'm over it. And, you know, the B team has been entertaining.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed them, you know, the past, I don't know, month or so that they've been doing this. And I was also surprised to see them get the win, but I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it. I'm happy for, you know, Axel and Dallas that they're finally in a nice little spot on the main roster. And, you know, I'm looking forward to where it goes from here. You know, Hardy is whatever. Wyatt has been kind of just floating around. So, yeah, this would have been nice to see them have a run. But, you know, I guess it's back to the drawing board with them.
Yeah, I mean, Matt tweeted something like, you know, maybe it's time for us to move on. So I don't know if that means him and Wyatt or him and his, the deities or whatever, and, you know, the old soul that inhabits him. I don't know.
Right.
They could use some time away. They were fun, but I'm happy to see the B team. I just don't. I smell transitional champs.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
don't you like tomorrow night?
The first thing I thought of was Heath and Rhino. Like, all right, there's the comedy guys. They're over enough to win the tag titles, and that's fine. Like, that's something that should happen. You know, like, those guys should have somewhere. So, like, that, I don't know. I'm fine with it.
I could see them tomorrow night coming out. I'm terrible. They're Raw, right?
Who?
They're Raw.
B team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they come out on Raw. They're bragging. They say they can beat anyone. Authors of Pain come down?
Yeah.
Destroy them, take the belts?
Right. I mean, very easily could happen.
You just, I wouldn't be opposed to them having it for long because, you know, when Slater and Rhino had it, I was shockingly, pleasantly surprised about that as well.
Yeah.
So, who knows? All right, then we had Corbin, was Corbin first? Corbin versus Finn Balor. I like that match. I mean, there are going to be more issues between the two. And you don't want to make Corbin with his new look weak so quickly. I don't know if Balor had to win by roll-up.
Yeah, I said too late. I don't know. Corbin is just, you know, he's kind of just whatever to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's better with the shaved head because, it's crazy how much more... Like, he doesn't... I don't hate him. Like, I don't want to see him off screen, I guess. I'm not particularly for him, but seeing him lose a match is fine.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, a freshened up, a little bit of a change that he needed, so.
So I guess Balor continues the feud with him because it doesn't seem like they'll, you know, they'll be done with each other.
Right. No, I don't think so.
I oddly got some weird pleasure out of James Ellsworth hanging in a cage.
Yeah, I guess.
Just like the, you know, the, I know it makes me think of like Jim Cornette and things like that, you know, like the Southern guys in a cage stuff. That was funny. I mean, it gave them a way to have Asuka lose the match.
See, so now like here's my whole just hold up with it. Is like, okay, it's been, you know, I don't know, 20 plus whatever years since we saw, you know, the shark cage used, and then it was the Authors of Pain, and then it was like Kevin Owens, and then it was Shane McMahon, and then it, you know what I mean? Like, we're using it every other month now, so like, I get it, yeah, we have this accessory, but we don't have to use it every two pay-per-views.
Listen, when I was like 22... I bought a beer pong table online, and everyone thought I was crazy, because it was a lot of money, and it was, so that's why I used it a lot. Maybe they just got like a new shark cage, and they're like, "God damn it, this is a lot of money. We gotta use it. I want to use it at least 3 times a year."
It very well, you know, might be, but
why else? Why else use the gimmick so much? It makes no sense.
cost effectiveness. But yeah, so that match was whatever. You knew Ellsworth was, you know, wasn't just gonna sit up there in the cage. So, you know, he gets involved, throwing stuff, hanging out of the cage. Asuka gets thrown into it and rolled up. And, you know, that was fine. She beat the crap out of Ellsworth afterwards, and, you know, we move on.
I know it's not good storytelling, but I would just one time like to see the person, the kid, just sit in the cage. And, like, the person who they're supposed to be supporting just wins clean, and then the match is over. Like, all right, we're just going to lower you. There's no reason for you to be up there. All
right, welcome down, yeah.
And, I mean, also, man, if these are supposed to be shark cages, it's really sad that people can get out of them so easily. All right.
Well, then. People, not sharks.
We didn't really mention this on the timeline, but the Bludgeon Brothers had attacked Kane and Daniel Bryan backstage in the dressing room area. There was a... Did you notice the way that Rowan used the mallet or the sledgehammer?
No.
So instead of just, like, hitting Kane with it, they put Kane's leg, like, you know, they opened the door and then put Kane's leg by the door and then smash the door. It's just like, well, logically, if you have a giant sledgehammer and you want to hurt someone's leg, put it in a door and then smash the door, because that'll hurt the most.
Yeah, but Kane had a leg injury, so.
Does it, what, had a, like, for real? That up. What do you mean, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He has, like, a left foot injury, so that's why they did that, to cover it up, and then he came out, like, with the boot on and everything later.
Please tell me that that's his actual boot.
It, I mean, do you think, like, they just have a spare one? I'm pretty like, sure that...
Oh, I mean, they definitely have spare stuff. I mean,
well, yes, they definitely have a spare one, but I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, that was just his boot.
Oh, well, so then you had, like, the typical underdog stuff here. Bryan comes out first, fights them off. You know, after a while, Kane's music hits. He comes out. I don't know if I like the music part.
Well,
like, can't he just come out?
Yeah, sure, but...
I mean, I suppose with the leg injury, it's going to take a long time.
All right, then you got to shut the lights off so you can hide the leg injury.
It would be, you know, I would have liked, like, the lights flicker. Lights go off, lights go back on. Kane's in the middle with his boot.
Yeah. They just did that.
No, wait, but they can't do it.
Then you would have, then you wouldn't have got the visual of him limping down.
Yeah, yeah, there's sympathy there. So, just when you thought that maybe Team Hell No could win, the Bludgeon Brothers come down and they win. That sets up a further angle. I was fine with it. I mean, you knew that Kane was going to come out. And help his buddy out.
Right, like, even if Kane wasn't injured, like, this was a good, you know, that was a good storyline.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that. I 1,000% knew it was coming, still really liked it when I kind of popped when Kane's music hit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then it's Lashley Roman?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I think we might have skipped Alexa Nia. Although I actually think that came after Roman. So Roman and Lashley, I mean, what can I say? The crowd totally fell apart here. The match wasn't bad. I mean, I didn't think they were.
No,
like,
it wasn't. Most Roman Reigns matches aren't bad, but people just shit on them and they don't give them a chance. In this case, with Lashley involved, I didn't necessarily mind. But, you know, it's just unfortunate, like, I don't know what Roman Reigns has to do to earn some type of faith. You know, he's lost a lot. He's lost in his title opportunities, whether he loses clean or gets screwed or whatever. He's not the champion. He probably will not be the champion anytime soon. So just leave it be and just enjoy the matches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to... You know what I think they should do. I mean, everybody kind of knows that, right? Just let him embrace it. Heck, I mean, have him change gear to blue and walk out with Batista, you know, and be like, this is my boy, you know, like, just go all in on it. But they're not going to go all in on it. They're going to keep doing this. Aside from keeping him off TV for a while and coming back with some sort of different look, I don't know. I don't know how you fix this, because it's derailing shows. Whether it's right or wrong, right? Because, I mean, sometimes I think we need to start talking about is, if he's having quote unquote like, you know, work rate good matches, right? But the reactions are always this way. Then, I mean, at some point you have to say that he's having a bad match, because at the end of the day, what wrestling really is about performance.
But that's not fair, because he's killing it, and if you actually watch the match, you'll get into it, and a lot of time people do, and they're cheering for him by the end, but then you have crowds like this where they don't even watch the match, they don't even give it a chance, they just shit all over it. So that's not his fault.
No.
The way he was booked, not his fault. He didn't go in there and ask to win matches, you know? That's what the boss told him to do. That's what he did. So it's unfortunate that now he can't catch a break in terms of no matter where he is on the card. People are just going to shit all over him and his opponent. So, that's unfortunate, and they need to learn how to channel that and use it to their advantage. Put him against...
Bobby Lashley?
Right, put him against guys that are going to get cheered, and that, you know,
anyone you want to get over,
use that reaction.
Anyone right. you want to get over, like just anyone you want to get over.
But then the problem becomes he has to lose, and you know that doesn't always happen. Yes, that happened tonight, but Bobby Lashley, shaved Vince McMahon's head at WrestleMania, so it's not like Bobby Lashley is chump change in Vince McMahon's eyes,
I mean. But the truth of the matter is Reigns only lost this match to win the next one, right? Because he got outsmarted. That's it.
Maybe, but I don't know. Roman and Bob. It's an interesting feud because like it's one of those like, oh, this is not something I ever really thought I wanted to see, and probably don't, but. It's still cool to see it. So, they're trying. It's not exactly working, but, give them credit.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of people who maybe could be added to this feud to make it less interesting for me.
Don't add anyone else.
Batista. Make it. Well, bring back Blutista with a thick beard, and yeah, maybe
You like Guardians of the Galaxy. You can't.
I love Guardians. Yeah, I know. Batista's won me over.
So that's it.
It's terrible because especially if he just came out of like
Batista, Rey Mysterio, your most hated enemies have now become
you're right. That season of Lucha like won me over, man. Love Rey Mysterio now. Love him again, like as WCW times.
That's all it took. Yeah, because now he looks like he's back in WCW again. But so what was next?
Alexa. Naya, okay. Extreme Rules match.
Alright, that was fine. It was what it was. Ronda's involvement was okay, but it was also kind of dumb because, like, where she was down for the entire time that Alexa was, pinning Naya, and then got up immediately after with all the energy in the world to fight them. So that kind of stuff is just a little annoying, and it's tough to see her put in that position because, she's not a wrestler. She hasn't been doing this for, her whole life. So.
Yeah, it was fine. I to me, this was completely anticlimactic.
Right. Because you never thought Nia was going to lose. Like, it's Alexa and Ronda is the match right now.
Yeah, so that they're building that SummerSlam. It was fine. I mean, it wasn't. I didn't fall asleep,
Shocking.
But maybe this 10:45 thing is really helping me out because like right now,
right now
it's 11:15. I would have been asleep during a normal pay-per-view. So this is really fantastic, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a direction I think WWE and all companies really should follow. Start a show at 7.
Start at 7 and at 10:30. No problem. But yeah, so that was fun. At some point, probably before both of these, we got Shinsuke and Hardy. Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about that, but, Shinsuke with the low blow to Hardy before the match. Hardy's like, all right, I'm good. Kinshasa, 1, 2, 3. So that was, I like that. That's exactly, how that match should have been booked. based off the past month or so of Shinsuke and all these low blows, it finally had a payoff. And then we can talk about what you were getting to earlier, which was the very confusing Randy Orton return. You know, coming out, it was like, oh, okay, he's clearly going to attack Jeff Hardy right now because that's just like what a Randy Orton thing to do. Yeah. But then, like, he dropped him on his back and kicked him in the nuts. But why? Like,
did he even kick him in the nuts, or was it the... Did he kick him in the nuts, or did he do that?
He kicked him in the nuts.
Kick in the stomach. Okay.
Nah, it was closer to the nuts. But, like, Shinsuke just low-blowed him. I get it, like, you're adding insult to injury. But just in our count, like, Jeff Hardy was standing up. If he was still on the ground, all right, cool. But, like, you had to put him back down to then stomp him in the nuts and then just leave. I guess, like, we want everyone to boo him. And not just like RKO out of nowhere. So, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are gonna boo Orton because he low blowed Jeff Hardy.
Well, they did. I don't know if they did it like because he low blowed him or just because he's Randy Orton, but they booed.
The idea of Orton coming back and doing that has literally put Stat Wife to sleep. Just out cold.
Sounds about right.
And there's middle finger, so maybe there's still life in this in this character. Right. And I quote, it's killing me. So then we move on to AJ Rusev, which I really liked, and I just feel bad that it happened after the Roman match.
Right. I really love Rusev. AJ is awesome. I thought they're... might have been a chance for Rusev to get a win here.
Me too.
So, you know, that would have been fun, and maybe we'll still get that at some point down the line. But, you know, I think the crowd was whatever they had left, where they kind of invested in Rusev, and when he didn't get that win, then they really kind of checked out, and which, you know, really negatively affected the main event, which was the 30-minute Iron Man between Dolph and Seth. Which, you know, it was a good match. 30 minutes really, really kind of flew by, personally.
I did too.
There was a couple times I was like, I wonder, like, when they took the clock off the screen, if they shaved off some minutes or something, because it definitely didn't feel like 30. But I enjoyed it. The going up 3-0 and then coming back 4-3, like, I don't know that you need to do 3 falls. I think you could have done 2 and then go up 3-2 and tie, you know, I think he could have done that. 4 was just maybe a little too much, but you know, I also don't mind because that's how it should go, right? If a guy beats the crap out of you for 3 minutes, then you should be down for more than 1-3 count.
How did McIntyre come back out?
I think he just came back out.
Like, he just ran out?
Yeah, I didn't, like, see or...
Okay, because I didn't see it. Like, it was good camera work with them.
Yeah, I mean, they do a good job of that. Like, just focusing on the ring while someone else is running down. The crowd didn't really react, so maybe he came through the crowd. I'm not sure.
All right. I didn't think they had to go that far either, but even though I had a feeling I knew how this was going to end, I thought it was going to be a draw. I thought it actually just might end as a draw. So the overtime bit was fine by me. It was short.
You would swear that you never watch wrestling.
Well, no, because like I could see it being... I could.
No, has an Iron Man ever ended in a draw?
Exactly. Ever. So do it.
No.
Make it go Broadway,
yeah.
and then now you have another reason for them to fight again. I mean, now you still do, and there was an ending, so I guess this was a better way to end the show.
I don't think you can promise, like, here's an Iron Man match, it's going to determine a winner, and then it doesn't determine a winner, you know?
You're right. You know what the truth is? If that would have happened, I would have complained about the show. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, at this point... I think that, and I'm being serious, I hope SummerSlam is really good. Yeah, I'm I'm really, like, so down on the product. And mind you, like, 205 Live and NXT, I think, are different. Sometimes I forget about watching them, to be honest with you. I definitely don't always watch 205 Live live, right? I watch it after the fact a lot. And same with NXT. But, man, SummerSlam weekend, like, the last place I think I want to be is at the Barclays Center.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing a great job of getting us excited for the shows. But, you know, Brock should be there tomorrow, and we'll get some clarity there, and we'll start to build a picture for SummerSlam.
All right. So you want to head into G1 stuff?
Yeah, because two shows that I definitely loved this weekend.
Yeah, so let's just... I mean, for me, I didn't watch all of the matches. I wasn't particularly interested in Yano. Anything Yano, really, kind of just...
See, so now I will hit you with some news. These two shows were fantastic from Yano. Absolutely fantastic. In the tag match, he wrestled Ishii. Like, he out-wrestled him. And then the one-on-one match, you know, like, Ishii was doing, like, the low blows and stuff at the beginning, and Yano was wrestling and hip tosses and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, towards the end, it got some Yano-y. But it was actually enjoyable. I liked them showing, like, oh, he can be serious every now and then when he wants to be. So that was enjoyable.
Do you think that the Bullet Club angle is going to run, like, throughout all the shows?
I don't know that it's going to, like there's going to be an effect on every show, but it will be talked about, it will be discussed every time Tonga or Cody, Kenny or anyone, Paige, Fale, anyone from the Bullet Club is in the ring, they're going to talk about it.
Because, yeah, you know, in the you had Fale versus Paige, and you know, Paige won via DQ because there was a run in there. So, I mean, I granted, I know that this is a very long tournament, but just and I think if I'm right, there were some shenanigans on night two as well. If I'm
probably maybe it was, I can't.
I think maybe during Tongaloa versus Juice. No, Tonga versus Juice.
Yeah.
Perhaps I might be off. I'm just one was wondering if they're gonna keep doing that. I saw some of Elgin versus Evil. You know, this is a good Haas match. I mean, it wasn't. I wasn't right, super excited about it, but
both of these nights were kind of like your typical opening nights. You know, they had a couple of very big marquee matches, and you know that you want to see this was one of them, with, you know, kind of like two of the same guy. Mm-hmm. Two just real big physical, like you said, Haases. So you know, it was a cool matchup. It was a fine match. You know, I'm not exactly, you know, surprised by the result, so you know, that was fine.
I thought Tana, I saw a little bit of the closing stretch of Tana versus Suzuki. I enjoyed that.
That was awesome.
Tanahashi is just Tanahashi, so that guy is just amazing.
Tanahashi is amazing. Suzuki is flat out awesome. You know, and just the physicality that he brings all the time is something else.
What'd you think about White going over Okada?
Well, you know, this was definitely one that everyone kind of predicted. You know, people were anticipating that this was going to happen. You know, White is in the middle of, you know, getting his push, and Okada is in the middle of this storyline where he's losing and all that sort of stuff. So it wasn't shocking, but I actually enjoyed the way that they did it. I enjoyed the story of the match. I enjoyed, like, all the chaos stuff that, you know, was kind of interplaying with it. I really like the match. It, you know, Jay White, I don't like when he speaks, but, you know, this was the most I've enjoyed seeing him in the wrestling ring in a while.
Then the other Ibushi versus Saber, that closing stretch I thought was really good. It's weird.
I was watching the Cruiserweight Classic, which was funny.
Yeah, oh my god, it's so crazy to think that these guys were doing. They both turned on WWE, and I mean, look, this show.
Yeah, is how different it could be, right?
Miles in a way better than what was going on. I mean, mind you, they wouldn't be on. I don't think they'd be on the main rosters right now anyway. But
they wouldn't even be on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, but this was really good. I mean, I'm not. I'm definitely more into Sabre than I am Ibushi. Just happy to see him win here.
However, Ibushi is going to have a match with Kenny Omega on the last show of this tournament, so that could very well be a deciding match in the block, so definitely something to look forward to.
And then Omega versus Naito, which I got to see this whole thing. Wow, it's so weird that Naito's got like these different gears, and I often see him, he'll be in Ring of Honor and I never know which Naito you're going to get, is he going to do a couple of things and that's really it, or is he going to really go out there and just go crazy, and this is one of those matches where he just went out there and went absolutely crazy.
Right, and I think, it's the tournament matches, it's the big title matches. The big match Naito, so to speak, is who you're getting. This match right from the jump was, balls to the wall. And it's funny when you watch, when you watch Rollins and Ziggler fight for half an hour and you watch Naito and Omega fight for half an hour, it's a very different 30 minutes. This, like you said, this match was absolutely insane. This is the third straight year they fought in the G1. So Omega got the win here. Sick match. And, this tournament is always awesome. But, this year it feels really good.
And then we can, transition from the G1 to Ring of Honor. So some news that I just saw right now, as we're getting ready to tape, I didn't even get to tell you about it. Apparently, Meltzer reported that Jeff Cobb has signed with Ring of Honor.
Nice. I mean, that's something that we have been requesting and just kind of questioning why a guy like that wasn't. And, Lucha Underground, other things like that, it makes sense. But showing up in New Japan, being so over there, having such a good showing for them, it only makes sense that he's in Ring of Honor. And I mean, think about what Samoa Joe was for this company.
Yeah.
If pushed the right way, I don't see any reason why that can't be Jeff Cobb right now. That guy is amazing. I really love watching him. He is a guy that I will pay money to watch. That's a great signing for them.
Yeah, I mean, his size is, it'll be, make it really interesting, because there aren't a lot of guys his size. If you want to talk about
go ahead.
You've got Taylor, you've got Bruiser, you've got Martinez as a big man.
I don't think he's I don't think of him like Bruiser or Taylor. He's not a big man. He's physical, but he's not, a tree or anything like that. So, I don't know. I love watching him work with the quicker guys. I love watching him work with, the guys his size are bigger. It goes either way. You watch him in PWG or Lucha Underground. He's wrestling guys that, aren't the biggest. So, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what they do with him.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think of him as Matanza. So,
right.
I guess in my head he's just like this crazy. I won't lie. The first time I saw Mil Muertes. Sorry. I didn't know who he was. So then the first time I saw him without the mask and everything, I was like, he's just a regular giant dude. I was like, he just the presentation on Lucha sometimes is so good. So I guess in my head, like, Cobb is like just this unstoppable monster because of Lucha.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, we also got some other amazing news today that one inspiration for the name of this podcast, you know, the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, was reinstated into the Hall of Fame. He was backstage at Extreme Rules, reportedly addressed the locker room and, you know, apologized, talked about his mistake and all that sort of stuff. So, hey, welcome back. I'm glad to see that hopefully enough time has passed and everyone is a better person and moved on. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having him back in the ring.
I mean, what are they going to, like, what's the whole point, though? What are they going to, like, they just...
Well, I mean, it's Hulk Hogan. You know, like, he's necessary to have around. But he could be a GM. He could be whatever, you know what I mean? So...
I just hope he's... I really hope he doesn't, like... I know it was only, like, a small flub at WrestleMania 30, whatever. When he did the...
Silverdome.
But I just hope he's not. What's his name? Like Teddy Long. Like, after a certain point, it was like, oh, like, you can't do this anymore, you know?
Right.
And I just hope I don't ever, like, I want Hogan to stop being around so that, like, he doesn't mess up.
Hasn't been around for 3 years. So.
Well, yeah, he hasn't been around because he messed up more than he ever messed up in the world.
That's all right. Hey, it happens, man.
So the other Ring of Honor news is that Ring of Honor announced that they're going to be teaming with New Japan to have a, I believe it's called, oh man, it's
G1 something.
G1 Showdown? Why do I not get the name? Of course. A G1 Supercard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be at Madison Square Garden on April 6th. Of next year. So, you know, there had been some earlier news that they were going to get a show there. Then it came out that basically WWE contacted Madison Square Garden. The show was off, and Joe Koff had said that he, you know, Sinclair was basically going to look into it. They had their lawyers look into it, and sure enough, we have this announcement. You know, basically like a week and a half after. Saying that they have the show, and they have it WrestleMania weekend, and they're running against NXT.
Right. So now my whole thing here was like, okay, I wonder, you know, how that date came to be. If it was just sort of like, all right, you want to try to screw us out of this? Now we're going to run opposite you? Or just kind of a...
That always had to be the date, yeah. No? I mean,
it could have been, but, you know, who knows? They could have just had a show in April, just to spite WWE. But I also like the comment that whoever Vince or WWE is like, yeah, ex, like an ex-girlfriend, you know, like, oh, MSG is free to negotiate with whoever they want. Like, you tried. It didn't work. You're upset.
Like almost admit it.
Right. Like, you tried to block them, so now don't say like, oh, now, yeah, go ahead. It didn't work, and I'm glad that MSG is going to be able to have some wrestling because, you know, I don't want to go to house shows, but I would love to go to the Garden. So to be able to go see Ring of Honor or New Japan or whatever, that would be a lot of fun.
Do you think they sell out? I heard that the setup would be about 15,000.
I'm really interested to see.
I mean, I've talked to him before, Alex from Spain, big Ring of Honor fan. Him and his friends are planning a trip here just because of that. Like, they weren't going to come because earlier. And, you know, if you're trying to diversify shows, I mean, just the allure of Madison Square Garden, I think,
right,
is going to get people to go. You know, you're going to get the people that normally would go. The Hammerstein holds about... It's not really a good indicator, right? But the Hammerstein holds about 18,000. 1,800. 1,800 to 2,000. So you figure the people that go to that show are definitely going to be in the Garden. And then, you know, I really think that just the idea that it's Madison Square Garden, I think they're going to sell out.
I mean, they should, considering the success of All In and the growth of these New Japan shows and all these indie shows. They really should come close, if not selling it out, because, you know, second, third, whatever you want to say, biggest company in the U.S. teaming with the second biggest company in the world, and, you know, Okada, Naito, and Tanahashi are all announced. You have to figure that if when Kenny signs at the end of January,
yeah,
he's going to be announced for that show. So, you know, those four guys alone, you're probably not going to want to miss it. You throw in the Bucks, you throw in Cody. You know, that's a real big problem for anyone else.
It's hands down for me. I mean, I know the NXT shows are really good, but you know, this is like once in a lifetime kind of thing. Of course, it could happen next year, and then looking back, it'll be a stupid comment. But I just come on, man. I mean, we've seen Ring of Honor and some interesting venues. So for them to now be running the Garden is just. Do you think? Does it lessen it at all because it's a ROH New Japan show?
No, I mean, like, I wonder if they needed that New Japan, like, power to get the job done, but I'm going to say no, and I don't want to think like that. So, you know, they run together a lot anyway. There's overlap on all their shows, so it's not necessarily a big deal. But, you know, I'm more excited because I don't know if they sell out 15,000 people with, you know, the Ring of Honor roster. Throw in Omega and Okada and Tanahashi and those guys, and you got yourself a ball game.
Yeah, it just would be fun because normally a Supercard of Honor doesn't, you know, they'll have like a couple of New Japan stars and sometimes like some CMLL talent, but they don't always have like the top names. So they're already starting off. It looks like they're going to have everybody. So this. We get to go to the Garden for Ring of Honor, man. That's super fun. Well,
let's not count our chickens before they hatch, but yeah, hopefully.
What? I believe the tickets go on sale.
It sells out in 4 seconds, and you don't get tickets.
We'll.
See, there you go.
That's not that. If it sells out in 4 seconds, I'd be thoroughly upset. We're gonna be there, man. Come hell or high water. I just really wanted to say come hell or high water. All right, is there? Did you get to watch the CMLL shows I sent you this week?
Nope.
No, not yet. All right. Well then, I think that'll bring us to the end of this week's episode. I think we're debating possibly going to the MLW taping on Thursday.
Yes, oh, no, is that maybe this so. Week?
Yep.
Oh yeah, sure.
All right, so there's a possibility we'll be talking about that next week. We'll also be covering any G1 shows that are occurring between now and then. Make sure you guys send us any comments, trivia, or questions over at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, runningwildlwos. You can follow me on Twitter, rich_laconi. And you can check out my Ring of Honor coverage at pwpodrings.com, rohworld.com, and lastwordonprowrestling.com. With all that out of the way, just to remind you guys that you've listened to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.